I'm Eddie Goodmanson. I live at 1608 6th Street South, Moorhead, Minnesota.
Where were you born?
Born at Mountain, North Dakota.
Whereabouts is Mountain?
Mountain, North Dakota is in the northeast corner of the state in Pembina County.
How big a town is Mountain?
Probably under 300 people.
Who are your parents and what did they do?
My father was Chris Goodmanson. He drove truck, hauled cattle, grain, and he had a butcher shop, and he also worked or and owned a general store in Mountain.
What was your mother's name?
His mother's name was Christine, and she was a housekeeper who took care of her mother, who was an invalid.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to high school, Central High in Fargo.
When did you graduate?
And graduated in 1935. Then I went to NDSU.
What did you study?
Studied pharmacy, and was out in 1938 for a year of experience. Graduated in 1940, and in two of the summers, I went to Interstate Business College.
Were you drafted?
I had received a notice, and then for the Army, and then I enlisted in the Navy before I was called. Yeah.
So you served in the Navy.
Yes.
What was your military training like, and where did you go for your training?
In the military training, I actually got as far as the recruiting station in Minneapolis, and they put me to work before I was sworn in because I could type. Then I went to the Great Lakes, and there I also was on the Master at Arms duty and went to Hospital Corps Training School. Afterwards, I was sent to the Naval Hospital, Oakland, California, and then I got orders for assigned to a ship, the USS Rixey, after that. And the USS Rixey was named after Rear Admiral Presley Rixey, who was instrumental in starting the Navy Nurse Corps, and he was a Surgeon General under Theodore Roosevelt. And he was founder of the Navy Nurse Corps and the Hospital Corps Training School and also the Dental Corps in the Navy.
What were some of your best memories during the training?
During the training, we actually had a pretty heavy schedule, so it wasn't time for much, although we did go on Liberty in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I met some very nice people, worked with some good people.
Now, you said you went on the Rixey, and where did you leave once you boarded the Rixey?
Rixey was commissioned at Moore Dry Docks in Oakland, California, and we were stationed on Treasure Island before the ship was commissioned. And first went out, and the first port that we hit was Pango Pango, Samoa. And after that, we had duty in the South Pacific. Our home port was Noumea, New Caledonia, for almost a year. And then, not that we were there very much, but we received our mail when we came in.
Now, what was your job on the ship?
I had three jobs. I worked in minor surgery for about 6 months, and being a pharmacist, when I went in, I worked in the pharmacy on the board ship for another 6 months, and then I worked with a dermatologist for about a year.
Now, did you serve in a war zone?
We did. The first invasion we covered was the invasion of Guam, and we were in there about 10 days, and for a time after the Japanese attacked the hospital there, they killed doctors and some corpsmen. We received people directly from the front lines, cleaned them up, and then they were transferred to White Hospital ships. The Rixey was an hospital evacuation ship that took troops in, Marines, sometimes an Army, and evacuated casualties. We had 12 landing boats for that purpose, and being armed, we rated no protection. So we had 4 3-inch guns, 5-inch guns. We started out with about a dozen of 20-millimeter anti-aircraft.
How many people could the Rixie hold?
They could hold, actually could carry about 1,200 passengers. There were 70 medical personnel, about 20 doctors and 50 hospital corpsmen. But the crew would be, in wartime crew, would probably run close to 500 people. It was 450 feet in length, which was the length of Noah's Ark, and had a displacement of a little under 10,000 ton, whereas the Noah's Ark had a much larger displacement. And the ship was, like I say, was 62 feet wide and had a cruising speed of about 18 knots, which is quite fast.
How old the ship was?
Ship was just commissioned. We were at the commissioning on December 30th of 42, I should know. Because I went in service the 27th of 42, January 27th. So the ship was commissioned next December.
Tell us about some of the people you met during your time in the service, especially on the Rixie.
At one time, were carrying some movie stars, and I did meet one that I got a good autograph one from. He was, I don't recall his name now, but he was in the last weekend, and he gave me a nice autograph. Name will come to me,
yeah,
I'm sure, shortly.
Any other people that really stand out in your memory?
I worked with a dermatologist that for a whole year and got to know him quite well. He was very good in diagnosis, and at that time, not much was known about tropical skin disease. We had the only bathtub in the South Pacific, and this was used for permanganate soaks and that for people with fungus infections and so forth. And we got along quite well. I did a little research in prickly heat, which was quite common because the tropics is very hot, and the people working in an engine room and that high temperatures often bothered with that. Actually, we did, it was said the dermatology line was said to be next to the chow line, the longest line, and some of them were treated by painting them actually with a brush with a strong calamine lotion for prickly heat and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Any other illnesses?
Well, fungus infections were a large thing there until later in the war, that when we started to take on casualties, then sometimes it. I was on actually a team that gave plasma to people before they could get to surgery. It's called a shock team, and this probably would have saved a lot of lives. We carried between 150 to 200 units of plasma at one time. Sometimes were able to get fresh blood, which only lasted a few days.
With the fungus you were treating on the body, was that more so with the feet on the soldiers?
It often would start with the feet, but when the humidity was high and temperature was high, it would often get secondary infections that were involved other parts of the body, even the ears. So it was quite serious, and the captain of the medical department used to say, well, they never die and they never get healed, so some of these were actually shipped out of the tropics before they could treat them successfully.
How many doctors were on the ship?
We had about 12 doctors were actually there are about 20 officers in the medical department, about 11, 12 doctors. I had an open throat, and we had a dentist and neurosurgeon and orthopedic doctor and general doctors.
And when you took on injured soldiers and you were treating them on the ship, where would you take them from there?
They were dropped off. Some of them were dropped as far south as New Zealand. And during Guam, they were loaded. We took a load of patients to a hospital, Aiea Heights in Hawaii, and some were dropped off at, in other places. But there are two hospitals in New Zealand, Mobile Hospital, so many of them were taken down there.
How many years were you on the Rixie?
I was on the Rixie probably about a week short of 2 years, during which time I did not sleep on land one night. The ship was in and out of port, but enlisted men didn't get overnight liberty.
And you were working mostly with the pharmaceutical end of the...
Well, it was medical, yes.
Any patients that really stand out that you treated?
Not particularly, although I had a ambulatory ward one time, and what I would do during chow, when they went to chow, everybody would like a Navy food, and if somebody wasn't there, you'd check on them carefully. I found one fellow one time that didn't go, and he had a real bad arm, and they were lucky you got him in for treatment.
Do you still talk to any of the people you served with?
We've been losing some of the people that I had close contact with. So, and a good friend of mine died not too long ago. They say that between probably 1,100 and 1,400 World War II veterans are dying a day. So we've lost a lot of the contacts.
Losing them fast. Did you go to any of your reunions?
I went to the 50th reunion in Chicago, and there were 8 hospital corpsmen there out of the 50, and one orthopedic surgeon was able to attend, although he was up in years at that time.
When did you leave the military?
I was received a discharge on 25th of September 1945.
And how did you feel about leaving after 2 years on ship?
At the time I had applied, after the invasion of Lingan Gulf, I had applied for a commission. I went to the University of Pennsylvania, and I was married there, and then so I went to midshipman school at Notre Dame, and toward the end of the war, they were cutting down on the officers that they needed, so I opted for a discharge. I went out on points at that time. I was... somewhat glad to be out of the service, but on the other hand, there were a lot of times it was quite enjoyable. But being a pharmacist, there were a lot of job openings, so I wasn't concerned about getting work.
That's great. So where did you go right after all your training?
I went up as a pharmacist. After discharge, I went up to Botno, North Dakota, and worked in the pharmacy up there for my uncle.
How long were you there?
Our older boy was born there, and then we were not there too long. After that, I managed the drugstore at Mackville, North Dakota, and then after that, we bought the drugstore in Abercrombie. From the fall till the drugstore burned down in May, and then after that I went to Maury Drug Company, where I stayed for some time and later managed that, and after a while bought in on the store there with Joel Nelson.
Do you have any final thoughts about what you went through while serving your country those years on the Rixie?
the final thoughts, I appreciated being where I was, because if we had to abandon ship in the South Pacific, you could last for several hours in the water, whereas the people who served in the North Atlantic, it was so cold that it might only last 15 minutes. So I did appreciate that. I've often felt quite a responsibility if something happened while you had to load a patient that took 4 hours to load. If you had to, you'd be like the captain. You couldn't leave the patient. You'd have to go down with the ship.
Any special memories you'd like to share that come to mind?
We had some. This was considered a lucky ship, and although we were never hit, we had a suicide plane came in about 100 feet or about mast height through a smoke screen, and I was on deck there, and I thought he was going to start strafing. We would have hit the deck. He pulled out. He didn't hit the ship, and happened so fast the gunners couldn't even fire at him.
Now, did you have a sister ship that...
There were three of us. There's the Rixey and the Pinkney and the Tryon. We're all named after surgeon generals. They were all hospital evacuation ships. They were not painted white and did not rate protection for that reason.
Any special stories about different places that different ports?
We used to like to go on Liberty in New Zealand, especially Auckland, New Zealand. Although, in order to get there, you had to go through 90 miles of minefields, which were our own minefields, and it was blacked out. But the food was very good. They'd have what they call steak and eggs down there, and. And sometimes you could go to the movies, and it was a good Liberty place.
Mr. Goodmanson, how would you like to be remembered?
I probably would like to be remembered as a caring person. We took care of over 10,000 patients, and it gives you a good feeling to know that you may have helped somebody or might have saved somebody's life.
Definitely.
I don't believe so.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Goodmanson.
I was thinking, when we went in the Basin of Lady, we were in there 2 days, and they wanted us out of there on the 22nd. On the 23rd, Battle of Lady Gulf, and this is the greatest naval battle in history, took place the day after we got out of there.
Where is Lady?
In the Philippines.
Yeah. Took place after you were
We left on the 22nd. That took place between the 23rd and 26th of October of 1944.
So close.
Yeah. But this would not have been an asset to have. See, what they did in the harbor, when we went in, we were there probably before Douglas MacArthur, earlier in the morning, before he returned. But they laid a smoke screen that covered the entire bay. You couldn't see anything. We had two smoke generators on the ship that generated smoke, and then they had 5-gallon pails that you dumped in the water. So you couldn't see anything at all. And then the Japanese would... They didn't know what they were drawing bombs in the harbor there during that time. But at the same time, the Japanese came in with three fleets, and they kind of converged in that, so the sea battle, that's why it was such a big battle.
The day after you got out of there.
Yeah. One of the things I probably mentioned before, we went on Friday the 13th, we went up in which some people consider unlucky, in a 13-ship convoy up to Guadalcanal. We moved into a berth 8, and at noon we moved out. We had ammunition aboard. We were unloading ammunition at Tulagi, and 2 hours. It's a moonlight night. We're there for 2 hours, and during that time, John Penn moved into our berth, and a couple of Japanese planes sneaked in. They killed about 150 men. They hit the ship. So you sat there for that long, but we weren't really worried because we would never have known it. You're tied up to 540 ton of ammunition. In a bright moonlight night, and you sit there for 2 hours. So,
but that was a sister ship that was hit.
No, it was John Penn had been in the east. It's not us. We didn't know. And I don't know if they showed any lights. They were bright enough. They wouldn't have to. But see, radar will usually catch something. But they came in low, so they couldn't catch that. I guess that's probably about it.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Goodman.
Oh, did you want a glass of lemonade?